3 days of national mourning have begun in Argentina following the death of football legend Diego Maradona. Recognised as one of the greatest footballers in history, the 60-year-old suffered a fatal heart attack at his Buenos Aires home. He had recently battled health issues and had undergone emergency surgery for a subdural hematoma several weeks ago. Maradona was the inspiration for Argentina's World Cup success in Mexico in 1986. He also led the country to the final of the 1990 tournament in Italy and managed them in South Africa in 2010. Maradona's success has made him a global star and a national hero in Argentina, but his career was also blighted by controversies on and off the field, including his Hand of God goal against England in the 1986 World Cup quarterfinals. And his international playing career ended in shame when he failed a drug test at the 1994 World Cup in the United States. Our correspondent in Argentina, Daniel Schweimler, speaks to us from Buenos Aires. He is a former co-host of the English language Argentine football podcast, Hand of Pod. Daniel, I guess that identifies you as a suitable football tragic. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Thank you very much. Please don't ask me about the Hand of God goal, though. It still hurts, that one, even from 1986, so as an England fan.
Yes, it was an extraordinary event. Wouldn't happen today, no doubt, with all the replays we have in sport. First, let's just talk about the scale of this in Argentina. So big as Diego Maradona as a figure there. 3 days of mourning, national mourning announced.
Yeah, I mean, that was announced almost immediately after the death was announced at his home just north of Buenos Aires. Also, there have been people congregating at all the places in and around Buenos Aires, which have some kind of resonance with his life. The neighbourhood where he was born and grew up. Also, the several football teams he played at outside the home where he died, and also outside the morgue where the autopsy is going to be held in the next few hours. So, and also in downtown Buenos Aires, there's an obelisk. It's traditional meeting place, place of celebration, to celebrate great football victories, and also to mourn the death of Maradona, who, as you say, has great resonance around Argentina and beyond. I mean, I'm assuming that there are similar scenes in Barcelona, in Naples and Italy as well, where he had a huge impact in the footballing world there.
His status in Argentina, of course, and throughout the world is legendary. Does it hold as powerfully in 2020 as it has in the past, Daniel?
I mean, you could have asked that question yesterday, and I wouldn't have been so sure. But having seen the extent of the mourning today, the numbers of people out on the streets, all of the main TV news channels here have a little black ribbon on the top of the screen. It's been wall-to-wall coverage since the death was announced. People are crying in the, literally crying in the streets, leaving posters, flowers, any kind of mementos they can find outside the football stadiums where he played. So, yes, I think now, having seen what I've seen today in the few hours since his death was announced, I think the image is as strong as it's ever been in the days of his the height of his footballing prowess.
And some of the greats of any era are stepping up and acknowledging his, I was going to say size, of course he was 5'5", I think. He was a very compact footballer, but the size of his career in the overall pantheon of the sport.
Yeah, I mean, they've been bringing on many of his fellow players from that 1986 World Cup winning side, some of them in tears, just having heard the news, talking about their memories of Diego Maradona. And as you mentioned, a difficult character often off the pitch, but very charismatic. They took him to their hearts, often excused his many excesses outside of football. But yes, he's certainly a man who touched the hearts of certainly the football, the people who love football here, but also went beyond that. He was a superstar beyond the football pitch.
More on that in a moment, but let's look at his impact on the game, and particularly in 1986 with that World Cup triumph. Yes, there was the controversy to which we'll discuss in a moment, but what was his impact on that tournament as an individual?
Well, absolutely huge. I mean, most of the focus, I think, is on that quarterfinal against England, that 2-1 victory for Argentina. We can talk about the hand of God goal, but I think it was the other goal in that game, which he scored just a few minutes later, where he ran about 60 yards, left five or six England defenders flailing around on the ground and slotted the ball home for an absolutely phenomenal goal, which in 2002 was voted the best goal of the century, the best goal of the 20th century by football writers, by players. And I think it's widely held to be one of the best goals ever scored in a World Cup. So that's the play, that's the image I think that many people, certainly in Argentina, football fans around the world would rather remember. And that did highlight, I think, the impact he had on that tournament in 1986, which was remembered for that game, for Diego Maradona, and for the final. The second time in their history after winning it in 1978.
The goals are one thing, but he was one of the great dribblers. And, you know, different performers will have different particular skill sets. You'll have your strikers and you're just waiting for the moment when they put the ball away to the back of the net. But part of his excitement was what he could do with ball to toe and I guess the anticipation that would go along with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that just left, you know, when he would dribble the ball all that distance, leaving players in his wake, defenders in his wake. It was one of those things that would leave fans talking about the incident for hours afterwards. It's one of the reasons you go to a football match. You can go and watch a dull 0-0 draw, or you can be lucky enough to go to a game and see Diego Maradona perform some of those dribbling skills. He was also a great reader of the game as well, a great leader. He was made captain of the national team at a very young age. He captained most of the club teams that he played for. He was always enthusiastic, always shouting, cajoling his players to produce more. I was lucky enough to see him play back in 1980 at the Wembley Stadium in London. It was a friendly game against England. He wasn't that widely known outside of Argentina at the time. But what I remember from that was every time he touched the ball, the England fans would just freeze with this impression that this man could do absolutely anything he wanted with the ball, and the England defenders wouldn't have known what to do. They wouldn't have known how to counteract that. I mean, it left a huge impression just seeing him live. I mean, even you can find elderly football fans here in Buenos Aires who saw him play here, who will still reminisce endlessly about the skills he had, the dribbling skills, the phenomenal passes, the free kicks, and of course his goals.
How much was that very energetic and emotional persona part of the love people had for him as well? I can remember watching football on Sunday mornings from a very, very young age, but I can't, thinking back to, you know, the sort of 80s and before, was that level of sheer emotion much less common before Maradona?
I think it was certainly common in Argentina, but I think the level of skill that he displayed along with that emotion really did endear him to Argentine fans, to fans around the world. And I think the comparisons are always being made with the other great Argentine footballer, Leo Messi, who is widely appreciated, but not loved, certainly by Argentine fans, in the same way as Diego Maradona was. Perhaps because he doesn't express that same emotion either on the pitch or off it. You can compare the skill levels and they perhaps are comparable, but the emotion certainly isn't. And that may well be a reason why he's not held in the same esteem, doesn't attract the same emotional response, I think, that Diego Maradona still does.
If 1986 World Cup win was the pinnacle, did Maradona ever speak to that goal? That was cheating. And how was it responded to at the time by the global footballing public? And second, did he ever speak to it?
He did immediately afterwards. I mean, he dubbed the goal the hand of God, la mano de Dios, immediately after the game when he was being questioned about it. He didn't deny that he'd handballed it, but he said that God guided him to it, which hence the name the hand of God. So, yes, he did. And I think in many ways, those two goals, the hand of God goal and the fantastic goal he scored shortly afterwards, in many ways showed us the two sides of Diego Maradona, the wonderful footballer footballer, and yet the man who on the pitch and certainly off it would perhaps push the rules beyond those which were acceptable.
What did happen to his life off the pitch then? Even when he was playing, it was a life of, what shall we say, hedonistic excess. And what became of him after his footballing days?
Well, he was a man who expressed himself to the full on the pitch. That was when he was at his best. It was when he was in his glory moments. He absolutely loved the game. He spoke about it often. And I think he perhaps, with a man with such emotion, had difficulty expressing himself off the pitch. He had a difficult relationship with his wife, Claudia, the mother of his two daughters. We've since heard about the many unacknowledged children that he's had around the world, in Italy, Cuba, Argentina, who he later accepted were, in fact, his children. He had a difficult relationship with the media, on one occasion firing an air rifle at a bunch of journalists waiting outside his house. And then, of course, his addictions to alcohol and famously to cocaine after he went to play in Barcelona, and especially when he went to play in Naples in Italy. He was at his peak in a footballing sense, but it was also there the beginning of his physical decline, that the cocaine addiction started to affect his performance on the pitch. He was never quite the same player again after he left Naples. And then he became a manager in several clubs, Argentina, Mexico, Dubai, never with any great success. He was the manager of Gimnasia y Esgrima, a club just south of Buenos Aires, up until he died, a club not doing especially well, but the sheer name, you know, Diego Maradona, was a huge attraction to fans, to officials in the club. There are thousands of people outside that ground, the Gimnasia ground, as we speak, laying flowers, posters, scarves, in tears about the demise of their great hero.
I wonder also if his rising from near poverty, really, and his very modest beginnings is something also that plays in the hearts and affection of the people, because by, you know, 12 he was getting spotted, by 15 he was on his way. It's a dream many carry.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and some of the greatest, the biggest crowds, people mourning the most vociferously, are those in Via Fiorito, which is it's not exactly a shanty town, but it's a very like a marginal neighbourhood, I think they would call it here, a very poor neighbourhood. He still has huge support there because he was their dream come true. In the same way, Lionel Messi as well, again, from very humble background. Carlos Tevez, another great example, who very much followed in Diego Maradona's footsteps a few years later. He was a player from a shanty town, and they do encapsulate the dream that is possible if you're talented enough and, of course, dedicated and determined enough to break away from that poverty.
Daniel, thank you. Daniel Schweimler speaking to us from Buenos Aires. Upon the death of Diego Maradona, the country into 3 days of mourning.